This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Now it's short, so I've been asked to read it twice so you really hear it. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The word of God for the people of God.
Wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me with me at this time. Lord, as we begin this new series and think about what it means to be generous and what it means when we are generous together, I pray that you would bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and I pray that you would enlighten the minds of those who participate in this sermon, whether that's done in this moment, whether it's done later. Open their hearts and their minds to experience the meaning of your generosity, and give them that insight in this space. Help them to be undistracted and to take you in. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, Captain James T. Kirk actually went to space. Did you see that? William Shatner, the actor, actually got there. He actually was given a ride on a rocket by Jeff Bezos. And this week, I saw the YouTube video when he and others returned, and they stepped out of the capsule, and it captured his fresh response. And it was frankly pretty impressive. It was really interesting to watch this. And you can go onto YouTube and see that clip. And I was intrigued by it. A friend of mine had told me about it. Shatner kept using the word unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And he talked about seeing the blue of the Earth's atmosphere and how quickly, when you're in something that's going a couple thousand miles an hour, how quickly you escape the Earth's atmosphere, and the contrast between the blue, the beautiful blue atmosphere, and then the darkness of space, the almost the void of space. And he said one to him was life and the other was certain death. And he said, it slips away like someone took a sheet on a bed and just whipped it off, and suddenly there's nothing. And I think he had an experience that was so powerful. The word I would use to describe what I was observing was sacred. I think he saw something. I think he experienced a meaning in life that I think was a really powerful experience for him. I'm going to quote him now. He said, I can't begin to express. What I would love to do is to communicate as much as possible the jeopardy. The moment you see the vulnerability of everything, it's so small. This air which is keeping us alive is thinner than your skin. It's a sliver. It's immeasurably small when you think in terms of the universe. It's negligible. This air, it's so thin. And it seemed that while William Shatner was speaking of his experience, that it seemed as though recognizing the fragility of life seemed to bring meaning to life. Does that make sense? And it was interesting because I've seen Shatner interviewed, and he's like me. He's never at a loss for words until he got off that ship. And it was as though he could not articulate what he had experienced. Other day, I was listening to a child. And this child was describing a time earlier in her life when she was in elementary school and she wasn't doing well as a student. And she was describing how frustrating it was to not keep up with the other students. And it triggered a conversation between the parent and the teacher and the principal, and other adults came into this conversation. And she was describing what she discovered during all that about herself, about some special learning issues that she has had to learn to deal with and how to become successful as a student. And how, as they unpacked what was happening, they were able to also figure out how to help her make that transition. And while she was talking, I was watching with one eye, I was watching the child, and with my other eye, I was watching her mother. And her mother was physically leaning in toward her, nodding her head as she was describing this. And a couple of times, I saw that mother wince. Just wince, like she was in pain. And encouraged this child to talk about this, and she was smiling about it. And we were sort of in a social setting, and it was really, but what I realized is that child brings so much meaning to that mother. And you could tell that mother would just do anything. I have this experience almost every fall. I take the dog for a walk in the woods near our home. Near our home, there's a area, it's Fairfax County Park area, but hardly anybody knows about it, and so it's usually fairly secluded, and it's a poplar forest. The trees are all poplars, and you know, they turn a little bit sooner, a little bit earlier than the other trees, and I just caught the day that I think might have been the peak day. And this has happened to me over the years several times, and I was walking through this poplar forest, and I looked up at the canopy, and you could see the greens and the yellows and the oranges that were all expressing themselves. And it was at the end of the day, as the sun was setting and the sunlight was streaming, you could see it streaming through the leaves and the cover, and I was standing there looking at just how beautiful, and I felt the praise of God welling up in my heart, which is something that happens to me sometimes in such places. And then I looked down, and there was our dog. We've got this great dog, and I began to feel so grateful for the dog, because without the dog, I'd never be in the woods. And then I felt so grateful for our home, that we get to live in this neighborhood. And then I began to feel grateful for the neighborhood, and then the neighbors, and then the community where we live. And I felt in that moment, looking at those leaves, such meaning about life and how generous God is. And if you would have walked up to me in that moment and said, "Tom, tell me what you're feeling," I would have sounded like a man who had just gotten off a rocket ship. I would have used many words and not been able to communicate to you the sacredness. And here's my question: do you have moments like that? Do you have moments where you see the meaning? And maybe it's a moment where you are seeing meaning of life and of God's generosity and the goodness of life. Or maybe it's a moment where you're watching someone else and you see them having that experience. And I'm curious, do you have such moments? You're all in mask and you're not moving your heads. No is okay. Yes is okay. I'm not trying to pin you in. I'm seriously, like, my whole sermon, which I have to say, do this one more time. If this is not good, I got to change my material, people. So you're under. This is a feedback moment. Seriously, do you get what I'm talking about? Yeah. What's the meaning of generosity? We're in the series called Generous, and I think that if you don't understand the meaning of generosity, you'll never understand generosity. It's a spiritual experience. Moments when we understand the sacredness and the meaning of life. And I know people at every... It's not contingent on anything. It's not contingent on your income level. I know people who are on very limited and fixed incomes, and I've sat in their living rooms in simple living rooms, and talk to people who have told me how blessed they are and how generous God has been with them and how much they love their life. They love the people in their life. They're so appreciative of the things they have. And I have sat in beautiful, beautiful, large homes with people that were equally joyful and equally robust in their appreciation of the generosity that God's had in their life and expressed how they believe that things really are a gift from God. I've been with people that are healthy, who are so grateful for their health. I've been with people that were sick and were so grateful for the health they used to have and the health that they will one day again have. Generosity, and the understanding of the meaning of it, it has nothing to do with your circumstances. I'm convinced of that because I have also talked to very wealthy people who had everything that this world can give, had it better than the Alexander the Great at the height of his powers when he ruled most of the Western world, had it better than that guy because they had indoor plumbing. And talked about nothing but what they lacked and how unfair it was, as though the universe had not granted their every single wish, could only see the tiny gaps in the boards. Because it's possible to have everything and understand nothing. That's been my experience. And I think to a certain extent we all struggle with that dynamic, that polarity between understanding the meaning and not understanding, seeing God's generosity and not seeing it. But this understanding, it's really pivotal, not just to the sermon, but just to understand generosity itself. Because it's a gift when you understand the meaning of God's generosity to us. Because if you do that, you will see a beauty of life, you will see a goodness of life, and you will find a sacredness of life, and you can do it at any age. Whether you're a child or 100 years old, it's just a perspective that you gain. And when we grasp the meaning of God's generosity, the reason that it's important is it will always elicit a response. Those who grasp the meaning of God's generosity in their life and the meaning of of life itself, it always elicits a response. You know this. You know this because you've seen children. You've seen children, and you know what it is probably. Doesn't matter if they're your own children or they're somebody else's kids. We've all been around children. And if you've been around children and you've worked and you've put a lot of thought and a lot of preparation and in sacrifice into planning a day for a child that you hoped would be the very best day, and there were certain activities, there were certain meals and food selections, and there were certain ways that you did it because you put the child at the center of the day and you said, we're going to make this day happen. And at the end of that day, the child who understands the meaning of your generosity, it'll always elicit a response. And you know the satisfaction that comes when a child looks at you at the end of a day like that and just says this, thank you. I can still remember one of our girls looking at me one day, tucking into bed, Dad, this was a really great day. Thanks. Have you had that moment? And so what happened is the generosity elicited the response. Let's talk about the opposite. You plan the events, you plan the food, you plan the special things, it's going to be a big day, and the whole day long, all the child did was talk about how they didn't want it like that, and why do you have to do this, and I don't like that, and today I'm not in that mood, and you spend that day with the child, how are you feeling at the end of that day? We have a word for what happened to that day. The day was, anybody know the word? Spoiled. You see, the lack of understanding, the lack of the comprehension of the meaning of the preparation, the meaning of the focus, the meaning of the sacrifice, the lack of comprehension by the child leaves the day, what's the word? Spoiled. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful because we can put that on the child in such a way the child lives in that identity for the rest of their life. That child is so... Well, we have to work with humans, don't we? To help them get the moment and the meaning of generosity, because when they understand the meaning of generosity, not only will they understand that life is sacred, they'll understand that there's a sacredness within them too. But you see, the spoiled child, the spoiled adult, spoils days. Because nothing's ever sacred and nothing's ever enough. Always seeing the gaps, never seeing the boards. I'm talking about the meaning of generosity and how important it is that we just take it in, that we have the moments. And so the scripture says this. The scripture says, one person gives freely and yet gains more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. You see, when you understand God's generosity to you, you'll understand the joy of God is probably linked to the generosity of God. You'll understand the creativity of God is linked to the generosity of God. You'll understand that the love of God is uniquely expressed in the generosity of God, and you'll begin to think to yourself, I want to be more like that. And in so doing, there will be gain. Right? Because generosity understood always elicits a response. The response typically starts with gratitude, but after gratitude, we begin to start to think, how can I be generous? How can I be sacrificial? How can I prepare? How can I have a... we're going to talk about the meaning, the mindset, and the method of generosity over the next couple weeks. And friends, if you can get this, not only will it change your life, it'll change your parenting, it'll change your children's lives to teach them this. Because I am convinced that there are very few things any more important than to teach your child to be generous. Because in generosity comes the great joy, creativity, and love of God. There's something that begins to flow through us when we do it. Now, Carrie, can you put the full text up on the screen? I don't think I marked it, so they're going to have to find it. If you can give me the whole text in one block. So here it is. Here's the whole text in one block. And what I want you to do is look at that, and I want you to read it. If you're home, I want you to read it. You don't have to read it out loud. Just read it in your mind. And I want to say something really clearly. Here's what this text is not about. It's not about you getting rich by giving. Because we got a lot of folks, we got a lot of preachers that love to preach a sermon that if you give me all of your money, you'll get rich. And it's amazing to me that people don't have sense enough to just do a little background check and notice the type of car that these individuals are driving, the cars that these individuals have at their disposal, the homes, multiple palatial homes, airplane. Friends, when your pastor says he needs an airplane, you officially have a problem. All right, as a pastor, I just want to give you a tip, right? When I fly, it's economy. I would love to have a different life, but that's my life. And that's not because of you, that's because of Jesus. And so my point is, there are some pastors who look at this and say, well, this means that if you give a lot, you'll get a lot, so give me all your money. And it's just, it's utter nonsense. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, what is this saying? So now give me that verse by verse. So let's look at this. One person gives freely and yet gains even more. Well, I don't think Christians should ever think that they're going to gain money. So when it says more, I don't think Christians can read that as money. I don't speak for other faith traditions or anybody else. Look, Jesus had something that was really important to him. It was that we would invest in the treasures of the kingdom of God. And he very specifically said, the things of this world will rust, mold, or be consumed. I mean, in Jesus' eyes, they just weren't that great. It's not that they were sinful. It's not that they were terrible. They just weren't as good as the gain that you get when you invest your life and you invest your wealth in the things of God. So one person gives freely and gains even more. I think Jesus offers us a lot of more. More joy, more forgiveness, more love, more transformation. But he never ever, not even once, promised us more wealth if we cared for the sick, fed the hungry, or made more disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to strive after these kingdom of heaven. And then in the next line, when it says, another withholds unduly. And that's what Kelly was doing with the thing. When she grabbed the package of Starburst, wasn't that interesting? Could you feel it? I was looking down when she did that, and I heard the candy bag crunch. And I looked up, and she was holding it like this. Another unholds duly but comes to poverty. I don't think Christians can interpret that as talking about money. Why? Because it wouldn't be mathematically accurate. My wife and I would be a lot more wealthy if we hadn't given so much money away. I mean, we just would. It's math. If you give it away, you don't spend it on yourself and it doesn't go into your savings account. If you give it away, it goes away. But you invest it in the kingdom of God, and that's what Jesus said to do. And so, but the scripture says, if we withhold unduly, we come to what? What if we don't come to economic poverty, but a poverty of the soul? A poverty of the soul. In both instances, I think the Bible is pointing us to a way of life where we find meaning. Not more wealth, but more meaning to life, which means that we need to rethink our common definition of the word prosperity. What if prosperity and the ability to prosper was connected to the sacredness of life and our experience of it in our day-to-day lives? What if prosperity was me looking at leaves, thinking how wondrous the world is? William Shatner saying, you know, the atmosphere, it's this thin slip. Like, we got to take care of this thing because it's this, like, and on the other side is death. And suddenly he sees life. But he doesn't just see life, he sees the beauty of life. In that moment, you see the beauty of a creator, of the love of a creator, the sacredness. What if that's what prosperity looks like? And what if poverty is a life where it's give me, give me, give me, I got, I got, I got, I hold, I hold, I hold. And because I hold so tightly, I accrue more and more and more, and then one day I die. That's poverty to me. But it's just so risky, this generosity. It is. It's so risky. You give it away, you don't get it back. You give it away. God doesn't do magic, at least in my life. I mean, the Lord is amply, more than amply provided for our family. Like I have to tell myself this. I have to tell myself this. Stop myself when I start going, we've given so much, you know, we've given money away, and we won't be there. And it's, you know, and listen, we spend a lot of time. You know what the connection between giving and wealth is? People who are generous spend a lot of time thinking about how they spend and how they save so that they can give, and that's where the security is. It's in the work you do to make sure you're doing all the things well. That's where the security is. But the anxiety comes because we know God doesn't do a magic formula, because if God just gave me more money when I gave money away, I'm not giving it away, because the meaning of generosity has to do with this: sacrifice. Have I made a sacrifice? to create the wonderful day, to bless my neighbor in need, to do the things that Jesus said when he said, I expect you to feed the sick, go visit the prisoner. I expect you to make disciples in the world. That's what it means to follow me. If you don't want to follow me, it's okay. But if you want the life that is a life, this is where it is. It always includes sacrifice because Jesus gave his what? His life. Do you think he wouldn't expect us to follow him and do something similar? But what he says is, that's where the meaning. So my friend David McAllister Wilson, who's going to be on this Facebook Live event on Thursday, he and I talked about this a little bit ahead of time. David said, you know, I said, David, I want you to talk about generosity because you've talked to a lot of generous people over the years, some wealthy, some not, less wealthy, and he's got an interest in generosity. He said, you know, Tom, the thing I've noticed about generosity, and he said, I heard this from somebody else, but he said, here's the thing. Some people spend their lives, and some people give their lives. And the people who spend their lives at the end are simply what? Spent. But the people who give their lives make their lives an offering. And I'll tell you something, when people lose a sense of meaning and purpose in life, when people enter into deep despair, it is often because they no longer find meaning. Meaning. And I think a big part of meaning is found in the generosity of God. So the question that I'm asking myself since my friend said that to me, I've been asking myself this question. Am I spending my life or am I giving my life? And I'm wondering something, if you could answer that question right now for yourself, and don't say it out loud, just in your mind. Let the Holy Spirit work in your mind through this question, not just now, but in the day ahead. Am I spending my life or am I giving my life? Do I feel spent? Or do I feel, in some way, like my life is an offering so that when I see just the beauty of it, the beauty of the people and the home and the shelter and the food on your plate, and you just look at it with wonder, like, who am I to have received all this? And then I think, how can I be an offering? How can I bring the blessing? That's where the generous life begins. And I think there's no substitute for that meaning. And I pray the Holy Spirit will speak about that to you today and the week to come. And it'll be for you an act of worship. Amen.